In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, it's hot. Perhaps this is the Lord's way of preparing us for the text we have, because if this parable is going to have its way with us, it's going to cast us down. It's going to bring us to despair of ourselves and our own goodness before the Holy Spirit lifts us up in life. Jesus, in this parable of the Pharisee and the rich man, is comparing these two men. The one is a Pharisee, and the other is a sinner, a tax collector, an outcast, one despised by the people. One of these characters is good, the other is bad. One is forgiven, the other is damned. This parable is strong in her simplicity, but perhaps the edge has been dulled because we know it so well. So if you will allow me, I'll change it just a little to see if we can recover some of the bite. Instead of having these two guys go to the temple to pray, let's have them coming to your house to ask your daughter on a date, shall we? I'm thinking about this because we had the wedding of John Schmidt and Julie Heitschmidt yesterday, and I saw Mr. Heitschmidt standing there giving away his daughter to John, and I thought, it won't be too long before I'll have to do that for Hannah. I mean, it might be 30 or 40 years. So I was thinking about this. So let's have these two guys knocking on the door. The Pharisee comes, and he's well-dressed. He has a good and stable job, plenty of money, and he's well-respected in the community and in the church. The Pharisee is the guy that you were hoping would come. He goes to church, not just every week, every day. He reads his Bible, he prays, he fasts, he lives by the rules, he is straight-laced. His answer to the question, tell me a little bit about yourself, is it all the stuff that you wanted to hear? I'm not like the other guys, thank God. I'm fair, moral, upright. You don't have to worry about your daughter when she's with me. And you know the Pharisee's right. As your daughter walks out the door, you say to her, whispering in her ear, "Now be nice to this one." And when they leave for their date, you call around to check prices for wedding caterers. That's what happens when the Pharisee comes. Now, the next day, the tax collector comes knocking. You know of this guy. He's a criminal. He's a thief. He runs around with the wrong crowd. He's the guy that you've been telling your daughter to avoid. Stay away from guys like this. They can ruin your life. If you know that this guy's coming to the door, you're sure to have your shotgun in your lap and you're cleaning it as he knocks. "No," you say, "of course you cannot go on a date with my daughter. Now get out of my house." The tax collector admits his faults, the things that he's done wrong. But who does this guy think he is that one little apology can make up for a lifetime of organized crime? These are the two guys that Jesus is talking about. One looks holy, lives holy, righteous, and a good life. He's clean, he's well-respected at home and in the community and church. He reads the Bible and he teaches others. He prays. He's always doing good. He's got his life straightened out. He knows where he's come from. He knows where he's going. He lives life with a purpose. The other guy is a low-life criminal. And as these guys leave your house and go their way that night, if both of them were killed in a tragic car accident, the Pharisee would go straight to the eternal flames of hell, while the tax collector would be ushered by the Lord's angels to the face of Jesus. Do you see that there's a way to get ahead with men? And that's to be a Pharisee, to be good. But there is a different way to get ahead with God, and that is to be a sinner. That's who Jesus came for, sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost, he said. Those who are well have no need of a doctor. St. Paul says it like this: Christ died for sinners, of whom I am the foremost. God, our Heavenly Father, is not like us. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is not like us. He is not looking for lovely people or good people or beautiful people. Who could he find? Jesus is looking for lowly, poor, miserable, nasty sinners. If you then, dear saints, if you want to have Jesus, and if you want Jesus to have you, then you must be a sinner. Now that's really the easy part, because you already are one. But this is the first part of repentance, is that you know that you're a sinner, and not some sort of wimpy sinner that can stand there and thank God that you're not as bad as all those other really, really bad sinners. That's being a sinner Pharisee style. The Lord Jesus has given us this parable, you and me, so that we would know that we are terrible and offensive sinners, that we are the type of sinners that we wouldn't let our daughters go on a date with. We are the type of sinners that we wouldn't let in our house, that we wouldn't shake their hands. Our sin and our guilt and our filth is offensive and repulsive to the holiness of God. This is not some small matter. But here's the good news. The Lord Jesus has taken our sin and taken care of it. He has all of our sin and filth and unrighteousness and law-breaking nonsense piled onto His shoulders. He made Himself the bullseye for God's wrath that should be directed at us so that we might escape. He provides Himself as the propitiation for God's anger, the quenching of his wrath, the satisfaction for our sins, the price of the redemption from our guilt. And all of this comes to us in the free promise of the forgiveness of all of our sins. Forgiveness. That's what Jesus wants to treat us with. What He wants to give to us. But if we stand before His altar, clothed in the white robes of our own goodness and uprightness and pride, if we stand before Him as if we need no forgiveness, then He has nothing for us, absolutely nothing. But if we stand before Him as sinners, despairing of ourselves and our goodness, and we despair of all of our weak and embarrassing attempts to attain righteousness. If we stand before Him like the sinner did, begging His mercy, then the Lord Jesus has His blood for us to cover all of our sin. This is the gift of justification, of His giving us His righteousness and perfection and holiness. For dear saints, it's sinners who go home justified. So we all here today take the cry of the tax collector for ourselves. We stand before the Lord's altar as sinners, and we pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Lord answers your prayer. Hear now the Lord's answer to this prayer. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, dear sinners, come and taste the Lord's answer to your prayer. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.